Al Young took to writing poetry, as he describes it in one poem, to make out the sound of my own background music. He's now the Poet Laureate of California, celebrating National Poetry Month with a collection called Something About the Blues. Though he's lived in California for decades, Al Young was born in rural Mississippi and had the good luck to find himself in one very special classroom.
I had a second grade school teacher. Her name was Miss Chapman, and she made us memorize poems regularly. I think everyone was up about every 2 weeks. You had to get up in front of the class. And remember, this is the segregated school system of the 1940s. So that at the Kingston School for Colored, we put a lot of emphasis on things that would be now called African American, on Negro literature and Negro culture and so forth. So we memorized poems by people like Langston Hughes, of course, and Paul Laurence Dunbar. Lies, lies, bless the Lord. Don't you know the day's abroad? If you don't get up from there, you scamp, there'll be trouble in this camp. Wash your face, comb your head, look just like a feather bed. Lord have mercy on our souls. Don't you dare touch them rolls. That's Paul Laurence Dunbar's poem. And of course, Miss Chapman coached us in body movements and gestures and all that. And she said, you're Negro, and so you're going to have to be twice as good as white folks to come in second. She prepared us.
Yeah. And then on another level, that little poem you remember was also just plain good advice for little kids.
Yes, that's right.
Comb your hair. Don't look like a feather bed. Let's have you read one of your poems that would hark to that, at least that place. I'm not sure about the time. It's called C.C. Moon.
C.C. Moon. C.C. Moon, oh, see what you done done. Or is it done did? I don't know the right way to talk to you no more. Nor do I care that you don't answer me. I've walked into rooms, their windows overflowed with light and fresh air, and understood how big plugs of skylessness can get translated into versions of illusion, blinded beauty in all its fullness. But when the blues overtakes you, every little once in while, blue-gummed moon, all explanations fail, it seems. But no, the blues by any other name would be just as funky. Why should it be so difficult to pin the color of your sorrow? I don't think I've ever read that poem aloud before.
The last lines are, why should it be so difficult?
Yes.
To pin your sorrow?
Yes.
And that's the beauty of poetry. Of course, you don't have to answer the question. You just have to pose it. And
that is, in fact, I tell my students, I get that from the great, late Richard Hugo. He wrote a little book on how to write poetry. And one of the things he says is, if you ask a question, don't answer it.
You came to San Francisco, the Bay Area, in about, I think, 1959,
1960? 1960. I came out under the sway of all of the hullabaloo. The Beat Generation was sounding its horns and all of this, and there was just a lot of romance about it. So I came out here with $15 or something like that in a guitar, and I'm still here.
That actually, for the time, sounds just about right.
That was just about right.
And, yeah. And $15 in your
right.
pocket. You have a poem set in a place that's in the country, although it's on the coast of California. It's Watsonville After the Quake.
Yes. Watsonville After the Quake is self-explanatory. The title tells you why I wrote the poem. And there's a backstory to that, too. A bunch of poets decided to go and do a benefit reading for the victims of the earthquake of 1989. And a lot of the community from Santa Cruz that was going to go down and do good works didn't show up. And so you had a lot of poor Mexican farm workers who came for the first time to a poetry reading. And when it was collection time, the hat went around and the victims themselves put money in. I thought it was quite lovely. So this is Watsonville After the Quake. Whose tents are these? What's with these shot parking lot and alleyway families peeping around the raggedy backs of undemolished fronts? That brown-skinned kid on a grassy patch along Main, catching a football and falling with joy on the run, is his family up from Mazatlan, up from Baja or Celaya, or edges of eternity? Network TV didn't do this news upright. For all their huff and puff and blow your house down, the mediators of disaster and distress didn't find this sickly devastation sexy. Besides, who's going to cry or lose sleep over a spaced-out, tar-papered, toppled-down town by the sea, brown now with alien debris?
That, of course, isn't the whole, entire poem, which one can find at NPR.org. You're the Poet Laureate of California, but your poems don't exactly, or at all times, celebrate the state.
Oh,
you
no.
You rather bring it into poetic relief.
Yes.
Given the size and the disparities that exist in California, from, you know, the beach to the snow
yes.
in an hour, the desert, the mountains, the redwoods, and then the people. I mean, don't
yes.
even start. Are there a couple or so lines of poetry that you've written that you think speaks to that?
Yes. These are lines from a poem called Blues My Naughty Poetry Taught Me, written on the Amtrak coming from Seattle, I believe, back into California. Sea fences, industrial washed-ups, slushy tracks and rickety light skies so soulfully watercolored, you'd have to be an arts commissioner not to see it. Seen across the bay through trees and the undersides of freeways, San Francisco looks lonely at the end of one bridge and the beginning of another.
Al Young is the Poet Laureate of California. More of his poems are at our website, and his new collection is called Something About the Blues. You're listening to Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.